T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cody Decker.
He describes himself on Twitter as an anti-hero baseball player for the Royals organization. Sometimes an actor, rarely wrong, often a jerk, always adorable.
Host of Odyssey Sports' Big Time Baseball podcast.
The jawline, can't really beat it. I mean, from here up, not really good. You know, kind of like a soft 4. From but here down, hard 8. So 6.
Cody Decker on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Cody Decker, as is our wont on Fridays. Cody Decker is on Twitter at Decker6, the host of Down the Line with Cody Decker. Bet for the cycle. Bet MGM MLB. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. And as always, you can see him today pumping the homeland on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Good morning, Cody. How are you?
Dan, I'm great. I'm hearing your lovely voice. By the way, happy 27th anniversary. My God, you're a broadcasting juggernaut.
Oh, God, it's a long-ass time. That is just, that is a really damn long day. And so, of course, yesterday, truth be told, I forgot about it. I just looked and I saw, because I was bitching about the White Sox. I'm like, it's May 19th, and they're like, oh, it's May 19th. So it goes back to 1995. And then Rick puts on Twitter, let's remind, use any GIFs and memes, however you want, to remind me how old I am. And people were having a lot of fun at my expense. And
you're
welcome. Thank you, Rick. And I have to, it was pretty funny. I have to admit. I want to talk about being on the bench, the process by which, if you're not in a game, how do you understand when you might pinch run, when you might pinch hit, when you're supposed to know, and how that should be communicated to you?
Well, that's actually a phenomenal question, a question that I had when I was in the big leagues in San Diego, because no one told me this at the time. Nowadays, it's a very different thing. A good ran organization, everyone knows what their role is going to be. Everyone knows that their role is going to be day of. If you're going to be a pinch hitter, you know what your role is that day. You know who you're planning to pinch hit against. You know the situations that you're supposed to pinch hit in. Same with pinch running. It's just a matter of who you are. It's a matter of the situation that is put in front of you and what your manager communicates with you. A good manager makes sure every guy on his bench knows exactly scenarios that he could be coming into the game. I played for teams where it was the exact opposite. San Diego Padres, 2015. No one knew what was happening.
There's also the idea of the knowing you have a day off too, right? Should you find out the night before if they say, "Hey, look, don't put your spikes on." Like, that's usually the idiom that's used, is you don't even need your cleats, your spikes, because you're off, and that you should be expected to know that the day before.
Yes, normally good organizations have the next day's lineup already posted. That's just something that you have ready to go, and you come to the field prepared, ready to know what's coming on for your day. However, again, this is not every single organization. Those are just the good organizations, the ones that keeps their players ready to go and understanding what their role is. A lot of organizations don't. A lot of people just have literally no idea how to run the ship. And I know that sounds ridiculous, because it's not that hard. It's more or less just simple logistics with 25 people, yet Major League Baseball teams still can't figure it out.
So the Chicago White Sox schedule at the moment is setting up. They're headed to New York for 3 games at the Yankees. The last series was no fun. It was clear the Yankees were just better at baseball than they were right now. What's at stake this weekend?
I wouldn't say anything's at stake. I mean, the goal, I think a good goal would be at least to finish this series 500 if you can get split the series. But unfortunately, the Yankees are just an absurd juggernaut right now that don't seem to want to stop. The team won't stop hitting. They're pitching, and that's the thing. No one was expecting their pitching to be this. Gerrit Cole has been lights out for his last five starts, yet he's been the third best pitcher in that staff, and he still has arguably the best odds to win Cy Young Award in the AL. It's just a team that's playing out of their minds right now, and I don't actually believe the Yankees are this good. Keep in mind, we talked about injuries, and we've seen all the injuries on the South side. The Yankees get hurt easily. I mean, Aaron Judge is unbelievable, but that guy is made out of graham crackers. I am not waiting for him to play this entire season.
We have been watching basically a home run derby going on with Judge and Stanton and some of these distances, and I was laughing because, first of all, there was the issue with Yankee Stadium and how that has become more of a home run hitter's park than was originally thought when it was built, the right field porch being what it is. And then they moved the fence back at Camden Yards, significantly so, where Judge hit two, missed a third, and it hit at 400-some feet and was complaining about it. Then yesterday, Stanton hits one that clears the wall by 30 feet, and people were joking, like, if you're Stanton, you got to go over to Judge and say something, right? I mean, you got to say, I don't know, that fence looks fine to me, dude.
Absolutely. You know, he walked in, he's like, I don't know what you're complaining about. That seemed perfectly fine. Listen, it's 400 feet to left field in that stadium. One, it looks atrocious. Two, I don't know why they did it. Three, it's stupid. Four, yes, Aaron Judge's 400-foot ball to left field should have been a home run 30 rows deep. And five, Giancarlo Stanton just happens to have more power than Aaron Judge. You just got to deal with it, Aaron Judge. Stanton is just that much stronger.
Yeah, your idea of the Yankees sort of overperforming right now might be true, but I at the moment it doesn't affect the White Sox. I guess I would like to know they were relatively uncompetitive the last time around, and I'm not saying you have to take 2 or 3. I don't like to be that guy in the middle of May and talking about the importance of a series, but this, I can't shake the headwinds that Tony La Russa is causing this team, that has caused this team, and have so many things so obvious to all but the last of the dead end La Russa stands, who are all this cut from the same cloth, all the same mediocre white men that feel he represents something that might be taken away from them. And the Aaron Boone may not be the greatest tactical manager in the world, but everything that's done in those games, when you watch the Yankees, it makes sense. And so much of what the White Sox do does not make sense. And that becomes striking when they play each other.
That is true. But there's actually something else that I'm noticing this season that's more concerning to me as a fan. Last year, wasn't this White Sox team the most exciting and fun team to watch in baseball by far? And it wasn't even close. They don't seem like that same fun group of guys at the moment, and they're the same group. In fact, they're a better team right now than they ever have been, and they're not playing to their capabilities, but it doesn't seem like they're having a blast doing it. Last year, it looked like at this point of the year, they were having more fun than any two teams combined. Right now, it looks like the Yankees are just having the time of their lives.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's chicken and the egg, I always think. You never hear about a bad team having fun. You never hear about they may be bad, but boy, they have great chemistry and they're fun to watch. I doesn't that follow winning? Isn't that when those questions get asked and when you see certain behavior? I don't know. Maybe it's funny. Maybe the Cubs are that team. The Cubs seem in some of these games to be having a whole hell of a lot of fun, even though they're not all that good.
Even last year, with the Cubs were like that at the end of the year. They had Wisdom and Schwindel both playing really well, and everyone's like, hey, this is at least a fun story of what these two are getting accomplished. And that was fun. Hell, the Cubs game the other night, the player who hit a home run in his first game, that was a blast. The Cubs on the north side are way more fun than the White Sox, and the teams are completely and drastically different.
Yeah, I wonder what – you can't force that, though, right? You can't have a team meeting and say, be more fun. I mean, I think it's going to come with getting on base, scoring runs, picking the ball up, activity on the base paths. I don't think you can synthesize fun, I guess.
No, it's on the, unfortunately, it's on the players. The players need to make sure that they're taking care of each other, taking care of the scenario, taking care of that clubhouse. Hell, Tim Anderson alone, I think, can take care of this. That guy is just a blast to watch. He's the most exciting player in baseball right now. And how can you not have a blast watching him play? However, if the team's just not putting it together, it's not fun. And we want to have some fun watching this team absolutely dominate this division like they can. Currently sitting at 500.
Well, then let's talk about what is significant regarding the leadership of this team. We know how important Jose Abreu is and has been and what he has done. He's 35 years old, as far as we know, and he isn't as good as he used to be. I think we presume that he's going to snap back a little bit. But what is the right way to manage his innings? His at-bats, he wants to play every day. He wants to be a horse. But at some point, if you're better off resting him, maybe do you put Grandal at first? Because they seem to want to play Reese McGuire a lot more than I expected them to play Reese McGuire. And what statement does it make to the rest of the team if it's clear you're beginning to manage the whatever resource Abreu is a little bit differently as he ages?
Well, we also know that Grandal's bigger strength is his bat anyways. He's been doing a decent job behind the plate, but Reese McGuire is just a better defensive catcher. As for the idea of platooning him Abreu at first base, it's not a bad idea. You know, you have the flexibility of the DH as far as everything goes, and you can move him around from that spot to the other spot. The problem is, this is a team that's got like four DHs, and that is problematic. Defensively, this team is not as good as they should be. But it doesn't mean they couldn't win. Offensively, they should be trouncing everybody. But is it possible that he should be platooning a tad more? Maybe. That's not an unrealistic expectation, especially when you have a bat like Yasmani Grandal that can, one, hit for a lot of power from both sides of the plate and get on base.
Did you see the story about the prospect that was, I think, a third-round pick that was cut from the team? I forgot which team. For
Yankees.
A Yankees prospect, right? I don't have this wrong. A third round pick who was actually stealing equipment, uniforms, and getting guys to sign stuff and then actually taking stuff and selling it?
Yes. This is actually more common than you think, Dan.
What do you mean?
This is like... I've played with five guys that did this and got released from an organization and blackballed
five?
From baseball. This is a common thing. It's ridiculous. There are a lot of players that steal batting gloves. I had teammates who would steal batting gloves or bats, and then they would ship them back home. That we would have that all the time. It was just a common thing. You'd always have at least one kleptomaniac in every clubhouse. It's the weirdest thing. I've just never heard of a third rounder who got paid that significant amount of money to do it. Because if you're a third rounder, you're practically guaranteed to get to the big leagues. It's your job to lose. And it was his job to lose. He just stole everything. He was like, what's her name from Breaking Bad?
Now, is this a function of just minor leaguers being that desperate for money? Is it, part of the back of my head now starts thinking, is this gambling debts? Do guys get in? Need, and I don't want to get it to all dark. You're the one that mentioned Breaking Bad.
No.
But I don't want to get it to turn too dark. But did you ever, you say there are five of them. Did you ever know what the motivation was other than just walking around money?
Two of which were just poor guys who wanted more money. Another which was a Dominican guy who was just sending things back home and just was doing that. Others, I've never heard of anybody trying to pay off any debts. Hell, this guy probably shouldn't have had any debts of any kind. He was a third rounder and was drafted, a year and a half earlier? So if he spent all that money, this guy was just clearly doomed from the start, and the Yankees need to do better due diligence when they're drafting their players.
What does it mean that Max Scherzer is out, what they're saying now, 6 to 8 weeks, and now we begin fulfilling? You talk about the Yankees being made of graham crackers. You know, the Mets pitching has been this way for how many generations now?
Oh, terrifying. Seeing Mad Max go down really, really hurt. They first said it was an oblique injury. Obliques are very, very tricky. I've pulled an oblique more than once. It's a very unpleasant injury. And here's the thing about that injury. It's easy to reactivate it like that. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one sneeze, and you're back on the IL for another 2 weeks. And I know that seems crazy, but it's just the case. Your oblique encompasses your entire body. But hearing the phrase 4 to 8 weeks, that's 2 months. An oblique is usually, 4 to 6 weeks at most. Hearing that it's 8 weeks, it could be a combination of his age. It could be the severity of it. It might be more of a tear than an actual pull. That time missed is significant because that time missed is going to cost the Mets about $20 million.
Did you see Daniel Vogelbach's triple the other night?
If you can call it that, yes.
What do you mean if you can call it that? Our guy Ian Happ tried to make a play. I think Ian misjudged where the wall, because the Wrigley Field wall is weird, and I think he just jumped thinking he might hit the wall, and then he didn't. And I was sitting there. I was in the 17th row, and I got to see that is the biggest man I've ever seen triple. I think I was at a game where Pete Incaviglia did it. I don't know if you remember Inky. But Inky wasn't,
I remember him.
He wasn't Vogelbach big. Have you ever seen anybody larger than Vogelbach triple in a major league game or a minor league game?
No, absolutely not. In fact, listen, I love Daniel Vogelbach. I one time went to a bar with Daniel Vogelbach.
Really?
When we were triple.
Yeah.
I want to know
that story.
Oh, well, we've been out drinking once or twice over the years. We played against each other a lot, especially in AAA. At the time, he was with the Mariners. I'll never forget it. Because Daniel Vogelbach, because you see how big he is. You think he's big when you see him in person, but truthfully, he is a refrigerator of a human being. I've never seen a frame as rectangular and stocked as he was. Because I know you look at him in a uniform, you think, oh, he's a fat guy. He's also like really fat jacked too. He's a strong, strong man. I'll never forget it. We see him at this bar, and you can't miss him because he's three people. And we just see him over there, and my friend's like, is that Vogelbach? I said, yeah. He's like, that guy is a unit. I said, I know. Look at him. And just knowing that type of body frame trucking around those base paths, if I'm the third baseman, I'm getting out of the way. I'm not even going to try to make a tag.
Well, that's what happened when he finally came home on the sack fly, because Suzuki makes this unbelievable throw from right field. And I look, if you're Wilson Contreras, to hang in the way he did, to see that, because what, force times P equals MV, it's force, momentum, I don't know, whatever.
It would hurt.
F equals MA, P equals MV, if I remember freshman high school physics. And right, it looks like pain to me.
Yeah.
But he hung in there, and then he kind of swiped the tag into his face, and then Vogelbach got mad, and then the bullpen guys come sprinting in, which is hilarious to watch those doors at Wrigley open, and out of the ivy comes streaming these guys like a video game so they can stand there and harumph at each other. And even Contreras is like, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to do anything. Like you've been a catcher in that situation where you're just trying to put a tag on, and sometimes that your glove ends up somewhere. I thought he hit him in the balls, and then I saw it again, and it was his face. And it's like, what do you do as a catcher? I'll be like, sorry, man.
You just say sorry, and it's part of the game, man. Hard tags, hard plays at the plate, especially. And you mentioned this. This is actually something that I want you to take into account and think about Contreras's point of view in this.
Okay,
because on a sack fly, you're not watching the runner at third. You have to kind of have your eye on him and have him in your peripheral, but you're watching the play in front of you full unfold. The throw is going to be coming in. So as a catcher, I'm set up in a position to see the ball and not necessarily see the runner. I know he's coming, and here's the funny thing. You could hear him coming. Vogelbach, believe me, you can hear those hooves bringing that gigantic refrigerator of a human being coming down the 90 feet. So trust me, he knew where he was at all times. And when he made the tag, hey, it just tried to get the tag off without Contreras getting absolutely demolished at home plate by what I can only assume is a big rig of a human being.
So we've heard the number of metaphors here. We've had stocked refrigerator, we've had unit, we've had big rig. I know that the rule in medicine in differential diagnosis is when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. And doctors will refer to something like in an episode of House, when it's some this weird, impossible diagnosis, they'll refer to it as a zebra. In your case, if you're a catcher and you're waiting for the throw and he's there, when you hear hoofbeats, I think wildebeest, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever that is. I think elephant.
Be aware that a water buffalo is coming at you at full speed.
Yeah, no fun. The next Down the Line with Cody Decker is Sunday at noon on these very airwaves, and we will look forward to it. Have a healthy and productive weekend, young man.
Dan, I will. I love you. Thank you so much for having me, as always. Hey, hey, happy anniversary. 27 years. You started when I was 8.
Oh, stop it.
I love you, Dan. You're
the best. Yeah, you too. That's Cody Decker.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.